All right, welcome back to a new episode, summer 2017 of Bike Sport Radio. This is your host, Robert. Yeah, you guys know my last name, so I'm not going to say it. Anyway, hope all is well. Hope you're having a great summer. And I'm finally in the studio. I've been doing a lot of remote stuff, and it's kind of nice to get back in here and have all kinds of things to play with here. So, yeah, it's been cool so far. Many of you know, it's like been perfect Southern California weather, nice gloomy overcast in the morning and breaks to some beautiful sunshine in the afternoon. And lots of really cool things have been going on, so it's definitely interesting. I love this time of year. Yesterday, heck, I mean, most of us got rained on, so, you know, it was like, where did this come from? I thought we were in June, and you could hear all kinds of people complaining about it here and there, but it is what it is, right? So, yeah, you know. Anyways, oh man, I got so much to do and not enough time to do it, which is always the case, so you know how that goes. But anyways, we're going to start off our show here from beautiful downtown Los Angeles here at the Kill Radio Studios. And just FYI, you know, keep an eye out on the, I'm trying to develop a new webpage for Bike Sport Radio, so if you want to get in on some of that action, let me know. Always looking for sponsors, always looking for help, so... and the same with killradio.org in general. We're a nonprofit organization, so we don't make any money. Everything, all the DJs that, you know, broadcast on here, it's all out of their pocket. And, you know, we're always looking for some fundraising ideas, trying to update equipment and things like that. So, you know, if anybody wants to help keep the show going and keep all the others, which, by the way, if you have not tuned in to listen to some of the other shows, you should. They're really interesting group of DJs out here. We've got some new DJs in here as well, doing some really cool things with some different musics and just things. And it's off the wall. It's not mainstream radio, so you know, you can definitely find something you like in here. But yeah, it's a really cool thing. And like I said, this is 10 plus years of Bike Sport Radio here. So I'm gonna go ahead and. Like I said, tune in, killradio.org, and see if, you know, there's something always playing. So you'll hear either a repeat of Bike Sport Radio, or you'll hear, you know, some of our other shows, which we've got, you know, Arius and Independence, Barry Coe and Guest. Let's see, Brad's Vinyl, which, you know, Brad was the original manager, owner, runner of Bike Sport Radio for a while, and he moved away. Let's see here. We've got Radioactive Dick. We've got, yeah, I know, that's a weird name to say, huh? Anyways, all kinds of cool stuff going on. So we've got DJ Bennett with the Chill Room every Friday night, and he's got some really cool music, goes off a good way in the night. And we got, like I said, a bunch of new DJs coming in, and they're starting to do their initial recordings and getting some new stuff on the air here. So definitely find something, check it out. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and start off here. Trying to see if my feedback's coming back here. Live radio, man. Live radio. Live radio and a bunch of amateurs. So let's see here. What do we got going on here? We're in June, right? Second week of June. What do we got for events on the road? Let's see here. Looks like we've got that was this weekend. Ladera Ranch was this past weekend. So let's see. We got San Bernardino on the 18th. We have the Majestic Crit. Then on June 25th, we got the Ontario Season and Criterium. So you might want to check that out. And then June 29th through July 2nd is the Amateur Road National Championships out in Louisville. I'm not sure if anyone's heading out there, but if you are, good luck. I don't know of anybody offhand, but I'm sure someone will chime in and say, hey, we're getting out. So go out there and do well. Race hard, race clean. And we'll talk about that in a bit, too. You know, the clean comment. You'll know why in a minute. Let's see what else we got. In July, we've got the SPNDX Stampede Gravel in Temecula. It's going to be a gravel/road gravel ride based out of Temecula. And it looks like they're going to do a couple of these. So we've got... let me get you a little more info on that real quick here. Temecula's got some beautiful riding area out there, so I'm sure it's going to be a very challenging area. Oh, blah. Oh, well. Check that out. I can't get the I can't get it for some reason, so I'm not sure why it's not popping up. Let's see here. We've got San Diego. We've got the Supermasters Crit on the July 9th. And July 23rd, Ontario Grand Prix. And then July. What am I saying June? July 30th, Manhattan Beach Grand Prix out of Manhattan Beach. That should be a fun ride. Alrighty. And that was in the road. And you know me, I hit everything. So mountain bike. We're dealing with, let's see here. This weekend, big granddaddy of them all. Well, not the granddaddy, but one of them. Race number, what is that? God, I can't remember. I think we're on race number 6? Kenta Cup. So that's going to be up in Big Bear. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, where is it? There we are, yes. Big Bear number 1, or Big, I'm sorry, Big Bear number 2, June 17th, 18th. Kenda Cup Endurance, it's Kenda Cup 6, SoCal Enduro 7, Downhill number 2. It's, you know, just go to Big Bear and ride. 2 days of racing up there, pick your poison. And then the July 22nd, July 23rd is their Crafts and Cranks, also part of Big Bear, and it's also the last race of the Kenda Cup series, west, I should say, because there is another series on the east side as well. But, yeah, so that'll be the final there. And I have to give a call out to my team, Team Montrose Bike Shop. Yay, us. We are leading the small teams point category. Chasing us closely, though, is InCycle. And we think there's shenanigans going on there, but we can't say that out loud. I can, but I don't. No one really listens to me anyways. Anyways, no, it's good racing. Everything's been tight, and it's been good. So it's been a lot of fun this year. So looking forward to finishing that series off. At the same time, though, in between, there's a nice little break there because we're doing June and then like the end of July is the final. There is the, and I want to say Rim Nordic is having an event. And if you haven't raced Rim Nordic, that's a really fun venue. I love riding there. I haven't been able to get there, though. It's kind of disappointing. It's just falling on off weekends for me. But I really enjoy their races there. They had their first one on May 21st. Second race is going to be July 9th, and then August 6th will be their final for cross country. And they do have an Enduro series going as well. So the first one for the Enduro will be July 16th. The second will be August 13th, and then the final will be September 10th. And one thing that's kind of disappointing, maybe if we all kind of, I don't know, maybe if we all send them emails, calls, or whatnot, the SoCal Mountain Stage Race, they're not going to have one this year. Kind of disappointing, I mean, but I don't blame them either because it's definitely a different kind of event. 3 events in 2 days, it's a pretty tough event to do. I'm impartial to it because I've won it. I've won my division in the past, but that was a good, you know, good race. You had a hill climb, a downhill, or enduro-ish downhill, and then followed by a short track cross country, and then a cross country the next day. So it's a lot. It's a busy day, and I did notice numbers dwindling, but maybe they have another reason. But like I said, I'd really love to see that come back. But that's Rim Nordic, so you can take a look there, rimnordic.com, for more information and schedule time and events and fees and all that good stuff. So a couple more things here. We got another gravel grinder. Did I say that? Yeah, the gravel grinder. So they're combining that in the dirt. So that would be July 8th, Temecula. And then let's see. Yeah, that's it for a little while. Also towards the middle of July, we've got the Pedal Fest. Greg Flanagan and company up there running Pedal Fest out at Santa Clarita in Central Park. So that's been a really fun season. I've participated in most of the first half, and it's been a blast. So first half is done. It was done. Let's see here, May 25th. So our next half of that's going to start June 22nd. 29th and then July 6th and 13th. So if you're not familiar, it's very similar to Over the Hump, except Over the Hump OC is down in Irvine Lake. Pedal Fest is basically the same thing up north here in Santa Clarita, right off Boca Canyon there at a park called Central Park. It's a short little fun loop. Great intense racing. It's a great training race in the fact that you're just at 100% for, you know, 45, 50 minutes. It's not too technical, so it's friendly for the beginners, and lots of single track. It's almost mostly all single track, except for the one of the main climb is Fire Road, and but that's about it. Most of it is, you know, single track, so it's a lot of fun. Good racing, you know, good friendly people, you know, and Greg and team there put on a really good event, so check them out, support them. I go out there all the time. Come say hi if you see me. Look for the Montrose tent, stop by, say hi. So I've also been mentioning the fun rides, because I've actually been participating in much more of those than I have been racing, and it's actually been a lot of fun, because you actually, you know, slow down and smell the roses and enjoy the scenery. So let's see here. We just had a couple of big ones this last weekend here. They had the Los Angeles Tour de Cure out in Santa Fe Dam. They also had a Cicla Via event in Glendale, which was about 3.5 miles each way, right through the city of Glendale, which were always fun. Good family events, you know, take the kids out and kind of see what the cities have. You know, they always put the Cicla Vias in a place where, you know, it's, you get to see a lot, you know, in your short period of time. You know, they try to really take in, try to give you an idea of what's going on. So they had a Cicla Via on Sunday. And Chatsworth, they had the Colt Ride, C-O-L-T. And it's basically the Chatsworth Orange Line. And basically what they do is start you up at the Devonshire station right there off of Devonshire and Canoga in Chatsworth. And you basically ride down the bike trail. And then they kind of skirt you up north again, up towards the top end of the valley there. It's all in the San Fernando Valley. And basically, they run you through the neighborhoods to kind of get a feel of what that area has to offer. You know, kind of same thing, kind of Cicla Via-ish, except it's not closed off. It is still open, and it's, you know, it's a ride. They try to keep you on mostly residential streets that connect you to different, like this, the LA River has a new section of bike trail between a couple streets there. Like the LA River starts right off of, I want to say Topanga, and I always forget the street there. Kind of runs like Van Owen and Topanga, I want to say, is about where it kind of shows itself. And along that portion of the river, they've actually starting to make the connection. Ideally, according to the stuff I've heard and seen, is that they're going to connect the bike trail from that end of the valley along the river all the way until it connects with the existing section of bike path near Griffith Park. So they've done quite a bit of in-between sections where they're not necessarily a bike path, a bike open, you know, like a marked bike lane, but it's rideable or walkable in most cases. So it's something they can easily convert into a trail if they wanted to. It's hard to say what they're exactly going to do, but basically they're going to connect this whole network so you're able to get from one point to another via bicycle. So we'll see how that works out. You know, it's happening little by little, and we'll hopefully hope for the best that that connection gets made. And it'd be nice to be able to ride the entire LA River. Pretty much you can ride it all the way down in the Long Beach. So, and that's part of what they just did this last, 2 weeks ago. The LA River ride was June 4th. So same thing, you know, you just, it's kind of nice to see it all coming along. But these fun rides, like I said, I've been having a lot more fun doing these. I mean, racing's one thing, going, you know, all out, but just like chilling, sitting back and enjoying your ride is always a good time. So it's good to do that. And we'll go from there. Okay. We're going to change gears. Today's show, we got, so usual, as you guys know, I don't do too many results of events. I know we had a couple of really good races this past weekend, a couple of crits and things. So you can go find the results. You log on to SoCalCycling.com, and if the results have been submitted, or you can actually even go on to USA Cycling if it was a USA Cycling sanctioned event, and you can actually hear, you can get everything you want to get from them. So, all right, wanted to shift gears a bit and gonna move into real. I don't know if it's old news, new news, or whatever, but kind of hit social media the other day. A very popular SoCal cycling team had an individual on there that didn't play fair. But, well, this could open a whole big can of worms, and this could be a 2-hour show with the right amount of people speaking. But we know that there's several bikers out there that just don't play right and play fair. And, those who feel that they need to take things to make them better and perform better and whatnot. So, I guess recently, a rider on a very well-known team in this area got caught, or well, his results and appeals, I guess, finally closed, and I guess he was basically stripped of everything. He was a masters racer who was basically doping, in a nutshell. I'm all. The team knew going in that, hey, this guy did this in the past and served his penalty, and I commend them for giving him a chance. I mean, I really do, because, once you've got that reputation, I mean, then you tarnish everybody on your team. So, it's a gamble, and I really do commend the team for accepting him and giving him a second chance. But sadly, he this, the rider continued to do what he did, and well, now he's banned again. I'm not sure what the whole outcome, how long the ban's going to be. I'm sure somebody will chime in, hopefully. I'm actually trying to get to the article real quick. Had it, and of course now it's not there. Telling you, man, live radio is awesome. So, what are you doing today? Right, let's see if it pipes up. There we go. All right, the article's here now. Computers gotta love them. So, I guess here's the thing. I'm a masters racer, and maybe it's my mindset. I like to go out and race against others, and I like to be able to say that was the best I could do, and they were just better than me today. But now, now when I show up to these races and I see somebody ride away, and I just go, did I, was that legit? Did he just literally ride away from me because A was better than me, or is he taking something? And I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, maybe all the supplements we take, like even maybe the drink mixes I use, maybe those are helping me. I don't know. It seems kind of weird. I mean, I don't consider that doping, but maybe it is doping. Maybe if I'm drinking anything but pure water, is that consider doping? I don't know. We know that, it's been happening more and more though, and I just gotta wonder, really, what is the purpose? Why? I mean, why is it that you have to go risk your health, risk your reputation, and do all this to win a master's race of all things? You're not getting paid for, well, not very much anyways. I mean, you come on, you're well into your 40s. You're grown up. You should know not to mess with that garbage, right? I mean, come on. Anyway, I mean, I don't know. It was weird. I mean, I'm hearing of people getting caught at a Grand Fondo taking EPO and HGH. I mean, a Grand Fondo, really? Seriously? I mean, that's a fun ride. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. But anyways, I guess in 2013, David Anthony got caught at a Fondo. I mean, and he was caught with that. It's getting ridiculous that what people are doing, just, you know, it's tough because now when you really look at, you really look at cycling and you go, is it worth getting into anymore? This is something that is, you know, we want to grow this sport, but at the same time, we can't know if we have a fighting chance. I mean, you race because you want to do your best. I get it, but maybe you'd like to see a trophy too one day, or you'd like to be able to move up in a different category, or you'd like to be able to do different things, but you can't. You'll never have a chance. And the way that, I don't like to badmouth USA Cycling, but I'm going to in this case. The way USA Cycling works is that, hold on, I think we're going to have a siren come through here and the window's open. But basically, what happens is USA Cycling, you know, you can't move to different categories until you get a certain amount of points. And the sad thing is that, well, there's so many people who will never get the points and are stuck in this category forever because you've got these people coming in who are taking things they shouldn't be doing. I mean, that's okay if you're a natural athlete and you're strong, whatever. Hey, boom, you're in, you're out. Okay, they'll know it right away. But then you got to wonder, how is this, you know, 55-year-old guy who works, you know, 40-plus hours a week, how the hell is he pulling times that the Cat 1 and 2 guys are running and he's in Cat 5? It's a constant issue. We're definitely always dealing with that, and it's frustrating. I see guys, you know, I'm 47 years old. I race in Masters Men. I race cyclocross in Masters Men. I do mountain biking, the race Masters Men. It's just like frustrating because I see all these guys and I go, man, we're just, hold on guys, I gotta adjust my microphone, it fell. Okay. Live radio, man. Nothing like it. So where was I? So, you know, I get to the line and I look at these guys, I'm like, all right, let's go. And then you see someone take off and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not right. And there's strong riders. I get it. I mean, there's always going to be that bigger fish. But somebody who you've seen before, who you've always beat by 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and all of a sudden now he's putting 20 minutes into you, I think there's a problem. There's something there. But USA Cycling's can't do anything about it. They're out of money. They're literally running out of money trying to catch these guys and girls who are taking things they shouldn't be doing. And it's really, really killing the sport. And until they finally do something, there's going to be an issue with this. We're not going to grow the sport. The scary thing is that we've got all these juniors that we've been developing. And what's going to happen to them? I mean, is it going to be to the point where they're going to have to take a needle so that they can get on a team? I mean, you know, it's going to be, this is a really bad thing for the sport. It's got to be cleaned up. Where do we clean up? self-policing really is where it's going to start. You all know who's doing what. And as long as you continue to allow them to get away with it, you know, then you're not any worse than them. If I know someone's taking something, guess what? Call me a snitch, call me a rat, call me whatever, but I'm going to say something because it's not right. If I'm going to spend my money out here and I'm going to, my hard-earned money at that, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to push my hardest and I'm going to try for a decent outcome, and then I've got somebody who's just buying his performance, guess what? You think I'm coming back to spend my money? Well, I don't think so. So, I don't know. Just, you know, in the pro levels, I think we've all accepted that they do it. And, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just kind of speechless because, you know, it's screwing us up. It's really making us look bad. It's making cycling in general just look horrible. And that's all there is to it. I mean, the good thing is, I guess they're all getting caught. But there's still so many out there who are not. So, you know, how do we get rid of this? So, there's so many different things going on that, you know, we've always had to deal with the biological doping, but I mean, now I guess to getting more mechanical as technology gets better, now we're even dealing with hidden motors and we're dealing with this and that. And I mean, come on, let's just play fair. We teach our kids to play fair, right? I mean, I'm a teacher. That's what I tell my kids. We gotta play fair. This, you know, and if we don't play fair, then, you know, what are we, why are we doing it? So, there's, like I said, there's just been a lot in the media lately about this. So, just kind of sad. I'm trying to think, though, who was the, I had on the tip of my tongue here, the person that just got popped here. But I do like what Phil Gaiman's doing, which is pretty funny. He's going around. He's a farmer. Those who don't know him, most people do who's in the industry, but he's going around. He's going around taking back all the KOMs that all the dopers have taken. I love him. He was funny. I met him over, I met him during a Christmas ride, which is pretty funny. We were going, looking at Christmas tree lights out of H&S bike shop in Burbank. And he was there riding. And at first, I kind of like, I know this guy from somewhere, but we started talking. And I didn't even put it together, you know? I really didn't. And, before you know it, we were like just chit-chatting, and he was all like, yeah, I just retired, and I'm not going to be a pro anymore. I'm like, so what are you going to do now? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to eat cookies. I'm like, all right, works. So anyways, he's going around, and he's been really attacking the Brent Sorensen KOMs, which I think he's got most of them if he's cleaned them all out now. But, just follow him. He's pretty funny to follow. So, anyways. All right. Enough with the doping crap. Let's get into some product. So, where are we going to start today? Well, I'm in the height of mountain bike season right now. And we have been racing pretty much every other weekend. Or I've been up in the mountains a lot, even with all the damn bloody rattlesnakes. All the snakes in general up there. Just be warned, everybody, they are out. There's a lot of them. And with all the overgrown brush we've had, it is ridiculous. The other day I rode right by one. Didn't see it. Didn't hear it. So I was very fortunate that I'm sitting here. It's all the critters are out, and even yesterday, a nice cloudy overcast day, they were out. So, be warned, watch your step, watch a single track. There was that rule, the third in line usually gets tagged. So don't be third in line. I think some statistics I read a while back showed that, it wasn't all the time, but I guess a common thread was that the third person in the single track was getting nailed or attempted. So anyways, yeah, it was an interesting little tidbit of information. So yeah, be careful out there. Give yourself, take your earbuds off, or at least leave one out, and go try some O2 helmet speakers. They work really well. Still be able to hear everything around you. But yeah, they are out. A couple of people put some interesting pictures up of. There was one here at Los Robles Trail where there were two bikers standing right in front of it, and they didn't even know it was behind them. They moved away, and it was still coiled up, sitting right behind them. So they're there. Keep your eyes open. What else? So anyways, yeah, we've been out, really putting a lot of time in the dirt. And one thing in particular I've been really testing a lot of are tires. And I'm currently running a set of Kenda Sabre Pros. And I'm running the 2.2 in the front and a 2.0 in the back. And I have to tell you that this tire is just a super amazing tire. And why do I say that? Well, first of all, when you first look at the tire, and you can go online and I'll put some up, but you can just go onto the Kenda's website, kendatire.com, and check out the Sabre Pro. Now, when you first look at this, there's not a lot of knobs. It's not a very aggressive looking tire. So the first thing that comes to mind is, ooh, that tire is really fast rolling, and you are correct in assuming that. It's a v extremely fast rolling tire, very smooth, and it's surprisingly got a whole lot of grip to go with it. And I want you to think for a second, okay? Let's say if you've ever seen a pair of rock climbing shoes, all right, and you notice there's no tread on the bottom of the shoe. It's pure rubber, and obviously it's a compound. The compound of that rubber is super sticky, and that's what allows you to stick to the rock and grab traction where you need it. Okay, well, Sabre Pro is kind of in that same concept of thought. Create a rubber compound that's actually going to stick the things, but yet create a rubber compound that's not going to overly stick and still allow you for great for very low, allow for very low rolling resistance. And that's in essence what they've come up with this combination. Now, is this particular tire is designed as a cross-country tire. It is definitely a extremely fast cross-country tire, and it works in pretty much most conditions. Now, I will say super goopy, gooey, gooey thick mud, and not so much. However, it will still float through it. Surprisingly, it does work very well in sand. At first, I was like, no, I need a little more aggressive front tire for the sand. But after getting the air pressures figured out on this tire, I found that it really works extremely well on the sand. Now, as we know with tires, it's always subjective based on riding styles and things like that. Now, I'm a 47-year-old, Masters Cat 2 cross country racer. Probably could be Cat 1 if I actually trained, but oh, I like Cat 2, it's more fun. This tire holds on. It climbs rocks well. There were several times where I thought I was going to slice the sidewall, hit a rock just right, and no slice. And the tire, I could actually feel the tire gripping the rock to help, thrust over it. I've gotten into some really tricky off camber sections where I thought, okay, here's where the tire's going to break away, and tire didn't break away. So I'm extremely surprised. It actually does climb very well in rock areas. It floats well in the sand. It really does like that dust over hard pack. Hard pack conditions are really ideal for the tire. But I've also found that if you've just got a little dust over the hard pack, it actually holds on just enough into that soft that it can actually break it, get down into that hard pack. So it's got a little bit of a controlled slide. Get used to it, and it's there. But it really does hook up well. But I think the biggest thing I've noticed is the rolling resistance. You know, we're coming into a downhill section, and I just roll past people. And I was like, wow, you know, and I'm not pedaling. I didn't pedal. I stopped pedaling before they did, and I just rolled right by them. The tires just roll quick. Very reliable so far, very durable. I'm just now starting to take some of the back tire off. But I've been in some rock sections where I've really had to power through the rocks. Usually I chunk tire knob, you know, knobs off in that combination situation, but haven't done it yet with this tire. Little heads up on pressures and bike. I'm running a 2016 Specialized Epic Expert. I am running tubeless setup with Orange Seal, which is my seal of choice. And currently running the rear tires at anywhere between 25 and 28, depending on how many rocks are around or whatever course I'm on. And I'm running the front. I used to run the front at 25. I've now dropped it down to about 20. With that 2.0, I can run a little lower volume. And I'm sorry, that 2.2, my bad, not 2.0. 2.2 in the front, and I've been able to drop the pressure down to about 20 psi. I also weigh about 165 pounds, well, 160, 170, depends on what I'm eating that week. It seems to be a really good grippy combination, and I don't lose much in the rolling resistance. So extremely, extremely happy with the Sabre Pro. And, you know, I never thought I would like another tire besides their Cosmic. But guess what? I love the Sabre. Another nice thing about them too is they're super lightweight. And they come in the different combinations. There's the tubeless race, and then there's the tubeless ready. Like I said, I think one of the really cool things is that the tire that compound that's made, I think it's called the R3C. It's soft, but yet durable, and it's hard to get that combination in. So, and from what I hear, most of their new tires are going to have this combination of tires, so you're in there. Anyways, you know, most of the new Kendas are sealant compatible with most sealants. They're tubeless ready, and they have different versions based on what you want to do. So I think the ones that I'm running now, and they have a Pro and a Sport. Okay, so the Sport's going to be a little bit heavier and not tubeless ready. So whereas the Sabre Pro is going to be tubeless, so you can run it tubeless. And there's two of them. There's the KSCT and then there's the TR. Now the TR ones tend to be a little bit lighter, actually a lot lighter. They are tubeless ready. They're a little thinner, a little lighter. They're about 539 grams, plus or minus 25, versus the KSCT, which is more their tubeless tire, more tubeless, is at 611, plus or minus 30. So, you know, not bad. And that's for the 2.2. And then when you get to the 2.05 is the technical terms. You go down to a 601 for the KSCT, and you go to 529 for the tubeless ready. And price right, retails about $65 for the tubeless, the TR tubeless ready, or the KSCT is about $5 more. So look around, take a look at them. And then Sport, if you're not going to go tubeless, you want to run tubes. Weights are a little heavier just because it's a little thicker tire. but not too much, and you're looking at about a $35 retail, so that's not bad. Give it a shot. I think you really like this tire. It's once again too based on your riding style. This is really a cross-country specific race tire. I've been using it though in everything from trail riding, all conditions. If you know how to ride a bike, you know how to, you know, control yourself, the tires get you through it. If you're relying too much on your tires to get you out of situations, you might need something with a little more tread on it, a little more, you know, aggressiveness. But this tire definitely does the job. You want low rolling resistance, good grip. Like I said, I was climbing through rocks with it. It grabs. You can literally hear it grabbing the rocks. You know, minimal tire slip. I'm really, really pleased with that Sabre Pro, and I think a lot of people will. Now that I've given away my race secret, now watch, everyone's going to have them. But like I said, really nice tire, really good combination, price is right, not going to break the bank. And check out their entire line. I hope soon to have my Ken the Cosmics as well. That was the other tire I really, really liked as well. And if you haven't checked that out, you definitely want to as well. Anyway, so that's it for the Ken the Sabre review. And so far, I give that definitely a thumbs up. You want to check them out, kenthetires.com. Check out your local bike shop. We are all about supporting the local bike shops, right? So hit up your shop and say, hey, have any of these in stock? Can you get me some? Like I said, we support LBS, and we want to keep everybody going. We know what's coming, but let's try to see if we can keep things happening. Like I said, we've been going through quite a few different items for testing recently. One of the things I've been trying to do, I'm trying to drive the car less. And so I got this wild hair to create the ultimate urban, I want to say attack, but the ultimate urban commuter bike. And we're talking the bike that I just get home and, oh, I got to go to the store and pick up something. Jump on the bike and go. So I had to look around and I'm going, okay, first of all, I don't need this bike. I want this bike. So there's a difference, okay? So I kind of was like, well, I don't want to spend a lot because now we know that that's the current trend. Make these city bikes, these really nice, pretty city bikes that look old-fashioned with all the modern conveniences, all the modern drivetrains, and the just the comforts. So we're like, okay, what are we gonna do? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, oh yeah, we're gonna charge you $1,000 for a bike that we normally would have charged you $400 for. I'm not gonna play that game. I'm tired of that garbage. I know what I can make. So I started looking around and I said, okay, here's what I took some parameters of what I'm looking for. Number one, I want something that if they steal, I don't care. And not to sound like I have money coming out of all orifices, but the reality is this is Los Angeles. Bike theft is ridiculous. And it's just, I don't want to miss it. If someone takes it, okay, it's gone. Also, parts. If someone steals parts off this, I want something that I can easily go and replace for under $20 or maybe $50. So, no fancy hubs, no fancy disc brakes, no fancy blah, 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 blah. I just want good old-fashioned V-brake bike, quick-release wheels, simple cassette rear end, nothing fancy, no fancy whatever. I don't want any internal 8-speed. I don't want none of that garbage. Keep it simple. So I've been looking around. Craigslist has been my friend. Ta-da! There it is, the dream bike. I found it, exactly what I wanted, and it had most of what I wanted on it already. Because this is an all-season bike, all-conditions bike, all whatever. So I wanted fenders. I wanted the ability to put fenders. I wanted the ability to put racks, and I wanted a comfortable seating position. And, you know, my crazy thought is I'm going to ride this to work once a week. Now, why don't I ride every day to work? Well, because I have a 22-mile one-way trip to work every day, and I have to be at work by a certain time period. I don't have the flex schedule where if I'm 15 or 20 minutes late, not a big thing. So I had to, ideally, I think an e-bike is in my future, but we'll talk e-bike later. So anyways, plugging along, find this bike. It's awesome. What do I find of all things? And I don't know why I didn't look in the first place, but there it is. Giant Escape Hybrid. No, 8-speed drivetrain. 8 in the back, 3 in the front. 24 speeds. Perfect. I got to get over Sepulveda Pass to the west side from the valley. So if you know that, I got to climb. I'm going to have gear on there. I'm going to have a bag. I'm going to have a rack. I'm going to have me. So, yeah, I got to get this thing over the hill. So I need some gear range, okay? I'm strong enough, but I don't want to get sweaty before I get to work. Well, not that sweaty. I'm going to sweat. So anyways, found this bike. Perfect. Just my size. Even better. Perfect. Just my price. Even better. Under 2.5 with everything on it. Racks, pannier bags, a bell, a headlight, and whatever else came with it. Fenders already mounted. In pretty decent shape, too, I gotta admit. Very little wear on the drivetrain. Looked like the cassette had barely been written. So I was like, bingo! Don't have to put too much into this thing. So anyway, needless to say, there is my rolling chassis. It is now home. So, what do we do from there? It's time to outfit it. So, what do you think the first thing I bought for this thing was? Well, the first thing I got was a really secure lock system. And the problem is, when you're commuting with a bike, I want to make sure this bike stays with me. So, talk to a couple of people I know. But here's the thing. We know that most locking systems are extremely bulky, heavy, hard to carry, and sometimes just really extremely overkill. And I've come to the realization that, guess what? If a bike thief really wants this bike, they're going to get it. So no matter what lock I put on it, all I'm doing is slowing them down. I don't want to be like totally like, I got to guard this bike and watch over it every 5 minutes. No, I'm going to want to run into the store, grab, do my shopping, and come back out, and hopefully my bike's still there. Rocky Mounts came out with a folding bike lock called the Hendrix. And I have to tell you that the Hendrix, this is such a cool little lock. Why is it cool? Well, if you go on to, I lost it. There it is. Okay. So if you go on to Rocky Mounts, okay, and I will give you that right now. Where is it? RockyMounts.com and type in the Hendrix, H-E-N, like Jimmy. Okay. And what they did is they made a lock that folds up. Now it uses steel plates that are riveted together along and they make a nice little chain. Really nice locking system. It's got a security level of 7. Now if you understand security levels, they top out at 10. So this lock, however, what's really cool about it, like I told you, one of the biggest issues with these locks, any of these heavy locks, is storage. Now, if I'm commuting with this bike, I want something that's always A, on the bike so I don't leave it at home, B, fits someplace on the bike where I have access to it all the time. Okay, so therefore, half the problem with bikes being stolen is that, well, why didn't you have it locked up? I left my lock at home. Well, why didn't you? Because I didn't carry it with me. Oh, I didn't have the key or whatever the reason is. Well, this guy folds up and looks like a universal tool, like a Allen wrench flip tool set. Okay, a little wider, of course. But if you take a look at it, RockyMounts.com Hendrix, you'll take a look at it when it's folded up, and it looks like a pocket knife. Now, it's a little bigger than a pocket. It's probably about the size of my Samsung S7 phone. So if you have a Samsung or an S7 phone, about that size. That's about the size of this lock. And it actually comes with a really nice bracket that mounts it into a water bottle boss on your frame, which is exactly what I did with mine. So later at the end of the show, when I put the podcast up and whatnot, I'll put pictures of the mount of the lock set up on the bike. And it's always there now. It straps in nice and tight, a little extra weight, but it's really not that heavy when you think about it. Now, the usability of the lock, well, you know what? It actually works pretty well. It gets around the frame, and depending on what you're locking it up to, if you're locking it into a traditional bike rack system where it's got a, you know, the anchor, the tie down piece is really close, it actually is more than enough room. To get it to go around the front wheel and the back wheel is not going to happen. You might need to add a little cable. It's got enough to basically cover what you need to cover. Now, like I said, it unfolds. It's about 27 inches long. So that gives you an idea of the length you're dealing with. You get creative. If you pull the front wheel off, tie it into the back, you can definitely cover it with no problem. If you leave your front wheel on, it's not going to cover both, but it's definitely going to cover around the frame, the rear wheel, and we all know the rear wheels cost more than the fronts. But if you want to take the extra step, basically, like I said, tie in your, just take your front wheel off, tie it in the back, and you're set and you're covered. I love the fact it's so compact. I love the fact it's so easy to use. It folds right back up. It's always on the bike. Great key design, locking mechanism. And, you know, like I said, no lock is foolproof. Okay, we know that. Bike thief wants it. He's going to get it. But I'll tell you what, this is a definitely well-built and well-designed lock. Retails for about $69.95, has a strength of 7. That's going rate for these good high-end locks. But you get so much with it. The compactability, it could actually fit in your pocket if you felt like throwing it in your pocket. It might be a little awkward, but baggy cargos, you can throw them in a pocket. But I attached it to the bike. It took up one of the water bottle holders. Bolts right in. It's been solid. Hasn't felt like, doesn't rattle, makes no noise. The metal plates are rubber coated, so it adds a little bit in the delay of, you know, if they try to cut the plates. And that's actually part of the security factor, is that because these are steel plates, it's a little harder to cut through versus chain, you know, round cable or chain. So it's definitely, take a look at it. And it's one of the first things I got having a commuter that I'm going to be using in the city. So definitely excellent little product. Check out RockyMounts.com for more information on the Hendrix folding U-lock. And basically strength, like I say, the strength of a U-lock folds to the size of your phone. I mean, that's, and it's true. It does. It's literally the size of my phone. Great little tool. Great little item to have. When I say call it a tool, I guess it's a tool. Great little piece of protection. And it's always on the bike, and we can't go wrong with it. So definitely, that was the first item I added to my commuter. Now, I did make note of something in here, and I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about that. The Hendrix took up one of my water bottle mounts. I have a 20-mile ride. Now, most of the time, it'll be early in the morning. One water bottle should suffice, correct? Okay, well, let's say I decide I want to go and kind of tour this bike and maybe do a little longer mileage on it. It could happen. Well, I have used up one of my water bottle bosses. Now, this particular bike only comes with two, one on the main down tube and one on the C-tube. So now I'm down to just one water bottle. Well, I decided I need to put more stuff on the bike. Now, this is kind of the tough thing about designing a commuter, because what happens is you got to be careful what you actually add to the bike, because now that you start creating room, you start creating space, and you're like, hey, I'm going to fill all that space with something, or I want to, you know, now I can carry more. Well, remember, you still got to carry this during your ride. But I was a little perplexed and a little kind of worried because a couple of things. Number one, I'm running a rack and tail bag, and it actually sits right up against my seat, which means I can't put a traditional bag off the back of my seat that would carry like my bicycle maintenance stuff, which would basically be like tube, CO2, pump, or whatever I'm going to throw on there. So I kind of have a little snag. Well, okay, I guess I could throw it in my tail bag, right? Well, I have other things I want to put in the tail bag. You know, clothes, shoes, whatever I need to carry. So I kind of need this. I don't want to start carrying too many loose items in the bag that now if I need to find stuff to change tire, I have to all of a sudden tear everything out of my bag to find the tools I need to change the tire or whatnot. So our good friends at Wolftooth, always creative and innovative as they are, I was talking to them. I needed to replace a couple of chain rings and looking at some new products, and I see this system they came up with called the BRAD system. And basically what they're doing is they've come up with a way to basically multiply your water bottle bosses. Okay? So if you go on to wolftoothcomponents.com and take a look at their BRAD system, and the first thing you're going to see are the BRAD mounting bases, and that's your starting point. Okay? And so let me explain what these do. If you look on them real carefully, you're going to notice there are some slotted, machined out aluminum bases. And what these are going to do is they're going to fit onto your existing water bottle bosses, your two bolts. Now, you can orientate these in, depending on what you want to add, you can slide these kind of up or down, and you're basically adding more bosses off of those two. Okay? So they have a two slot system, then they have a three, and then they have, what is the other one? It's not three. It's I'm sorry. Yeah, two slot, three slot, and four slot. Okay? Now, depending on your frame and your configuration and what you want to carry, starting with these bases, you're now able to add on more accessories. So you can actually add two water bottles using, they have a new bracket they came out with. It bolts onto this base and takes your water bottle cages, and instead of running them in the center of the tube, runs them just slightly to the side, and now you can have two side-by-side water bottles on your down tube. And you can mount them a little bit higher so they don't interfere with your knee. This is a great, I mean, for bike packers and people who need, you know, have small e-bikes. I'll tell you right now, and I mentioned this to them. I said, e-bikes, guys. E-bikes don't have a lot of space to carry things, even a standard water bottle, let alone two. With this, you now can add a second water bottle to your e-bike. Not that you'll need it with an e-bike, but hey, you might. But not only are we adding water bottles, but we can add anything that requires the water bottle boss bolts for mounting. So an extra pump. They came out with a really cool little tool. It's called the BRAD strap and accessory mount, where you can mount an inner tube, your CO2s, a little tool kit in there. I mean, it's a little multi-use strap that you can mount right underneath your water bottle. So if you take a look on their site, you can see they've got inner tubes wrapped up in this thing, mounting it under, you know, their water bottles. They got your imagination's the only thing that's going to limit you here. So I mentioned that because this is the situation I'm in now. I've now got a bike where both bosses have been taken up. I have one ice water bottle in one, I've got the lock in the other, but I need to add a place where I can carry tubes, I can carry CO2s and a little, you know, multi-tool. So here we go. So in the next show, we're going to talk about how I configure this, because here's the thing. There's no one right way to configure this. It's up to you. It's your imagination and what you want to do and what you want to carry controls what you're going to do with this stuff. So in the next show, we're going to definitely go into more depth about the BRAD system. Also, Wolftooth, and we'll also cover this in the next show because I'm just putting in time on this, has a new chainring mounting system called the CAMO, C-A-M-O. And whereas it's really making it easier to do gear change swaps. So using a direct mount cranks. So I will go into more in-depth information on that. But I really wanted to talk about the BRAD. And like I said, take a look at that, wolftoothcomponents.com, your source. I mean, it just amazing products there. I will tell you that, I'm giving away some of my race secrets here, but I am running the camo system, but I just love this concept of just being able to swap out gearing to meet my needs. So anyways, oh my gosh, we're coming to the end of another show here. What a shame. I had so much more I wanted to say today, but we're going to stop there. Take a look at our products we talked about today, that Hendrix lock, the BRAD, and then we're going to continue with the commuter series. I'm definitely really liking the idea of riding my bike more and driving my car less. I wish the city would get together and really get this infrastructure in place. They're working on it in places. North Hollywood, NoHo District hit a really big snag with a proposal there. So they were going to have a really nice bike lane set up, and apparently it just didn't happen. So I think everybody, you know, riders, racers, anybody who hears this, get involved with your local infrastructure. Get involved when you hear a meeting about community input, when anything, let's try to really get this city less dependent on the automobile. I know that's going to be a really hard thing to do because California, LA in particular, is car culture. But at the same time, you know, there is a change, and I'm thinking that we can do it. We just need to get definitely more voices out there. And speaking of which, there's the cars there, probably honking at pedestrians or a bike rider. But, you know, we can do it. And like I said, I'm really excited about this commuter bike setup. I've got it in action. I'm using it. I'm going through, done some changes to it already, and I'm adding these little pieces to make that commute easier. I'm not adding frilly stuff just because. I'm adding stuff that will serve a purpose and trying to keep the budget. I don't want to spend $1,000 on this bike. And I think so far I'm well under that. I think I'm still well under $400, I think, in product so far. So it's doable. I think it's a matter of finding that right thing. And, you know, the reality is it's not a beater either. It's a nice-looking bike. So we'll let you know how that goes. I'm still, I've got a couple more things to add, and then we're going to make the commute a couple times and see how it works out. Anyway, so thank you guys for tuning in. This is Robert, Bike Sport Radio, and it's definitely time for me to say goodbye because I'm starting to slur my words, and I haven't even been drinking. I'm going to go get a ride in this night. This looks like a beautiful night to do it before the temps go up. By the way, end of the week, it's looking like 100-degree temps in the San Fernando Valley, high 80s and 90s everywhere else. So hydrate, 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 ride safe. We'll see you next week.